Hello and welcome to the China Business Brief, a podcast from the China Britain Business Council where we discuss the latest news affecting anyone working in or with the world's second largest economy. I'm Joe Cash, and this week I'm joined by our very own Kiran Patel, Senior Director for Commercial Services, for an episode on the experience of small and medium-sized companies in the China market, with an emphasis on how such firms are approaching market entry and then growing their business given the country's COVID restrictions. According to a recent survey of 1,000 British small businesses, conducted by the Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba, only 1 in 5 plan to export in the next 12 months. But with technology making it easier to sell overseas and strong international demand for British brands, not least in China, are UK companies missing a trick, given that just 7% of British SMEs with export plans are looking to China as their next international market, compared to 23% who would consider Africa, a further 37% who would look to expand in the US, and 52% who have their sights set on Europe. Kiran, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Joe, and I'm delighted to finally join the role of esteemed contributors you've hosted.
You say that, but I'm going to now give you a grilling on setting up a company in China. So we'll see how happy you are afterwards.
Okay, let's go.
But I suppose the place to start is, I want to set up a company in China. Which sectors within the China market particularly lend themselves to British SMEs and mid-sized firms?
Well, China is the second largest global economy and the UK's third largest trading partner, meaning that if you are an SME seeking to export to new markets, China should absolutely be on your radar for consideration. The growth of China's middle class, estimated to reach over 400 million people in the coming decade, is very much at the heart of this opportunity. Therefore, if your business is at a stage whereby you are ready to export and you have innovative consumer products, technologies, or services, China is open for you to explore. That said, however, China can be a complex and challenging market for new exporters, with significant regional diversity, various market access barriers to demystify, some obvious and some less so. So the 14th five-year plan continues to present opportunities for British companies in the advanced manufacturing space, for example, particularly with regards to promotion of green transition in manufacturing. CBBC is, for example, within this space, working extensively with a range of business parks, free trade zones, and economic and technological development zones across China who have a genuine interest in working with British companies in sectors as diverse as healthcare and the life sciences to food processing. Saying that, apparel, cosmetics, homeware, food and drink products, children's wear, mother and baby products are all areas of general maturity in China, however, also continue to wield great potential.
So it's a big market, people are becoming richer, there's demand for British brands, I want to set up in China. The problem is, I can't come here, the borders have been shut for the last 2 years, as many people are aware. China has pursued one of the most strict COVID control regimes.
Indeed.
How can I come to acquaint myself with local partners in the China market or introduce myself to businesses that I might want to work with going forward?
Well, Joe, as you've quite rightly stated, travel to China has been challenging now since the very start of this pandemic. And while China continues to pursue a zero COVID policy, you know, this is very unlikely to change. The key, therefore, is being able to work with partners or representatives on the ground that you can trust. Also, it is important to have access to reliable content, so insights, information on the business environment here in China and economic factors, including the policies for key sectors, local regulations, which could vary from city to city and province to province, IP protection issues, setting up in China and the process for doing that compliantly, or simply just understanding the business culture for how to communicate more effectively with your clients and partners, especially when unable to meet in person, which is a real challenge.
So I've decided that I want to come to China. Now I've met my prospective business partner, but again, I can't visit them, I can't meet them, I can't shake their hand. How do I go about conducting due diligence to inform myself that this individual is legitimate and that their company is the right partner for me and is going to ably take my business interests in China forward?
Well, as mentioned, trust is key to any business relationship, and due to the relative opacity of Chinese market structures and enterprises, conducting due diligence is of great importance when establishing either a joint venture or a commercial business relationship. Due diligence is not as common in China as in Western countries, and you know, you could face a range of obstacles such as language, lack of documentation, or even reluctant Chinese partners in this process. However, it's very important to ensure that you conduct due diligence as part of any process and engage a practitioner that can help you to do that. You know, if you are looking to do that, I would advocate due diligence to A, firstly verify that your target's incorporation matches the narrative conveyed in your business discussions to date. B, understand the scope of business on your target's business license and that they are qualified to deliver for you. C, clarify their size, capacity to deliver, their physical address, registered capital, etc. D, have a clear level of visibility of your company's trading history, of your target company's trading history and knowledge of any administrative, financial or trading penalties, infractions that they may have on their record with the Bureau of Industry and Commerce, if any at all. Ideally, they wouldn't have any. Know who their shareholders are, board members and key personnel, so you can qualify that the leadership of your target company are ethically sound. And then finally, to ascertain that your partner has all the appropriate licenses in place to deliver in compliance with the laws of the PRC. This is information that you can source and corroborate through China's Companies House equivalent portal, the National Enterprise Credit Information Publicity System, or a range of other portals that are also in the public domain. CBBC can provide you with direct support and advice, and guidance, I should say, on these matters. Should you wish to learn more, and you know, if you want to take your due diligence any further and really take it deep, you know, CBBC has access to a range of legal specialist firms within our membership that will be able to give you further guidance and service any needs that you might have.
Thanks, Kieran. So I've finished my due diligence and the target company, they've come up clean. I've decided they're the right partner for me. So how do I proceed now? What type of company structures are available to me? How do I actually get my company on the ground in China?
Thanks for the question, Joe. Now, assuming that you've mapped out a clear purpose, strategy and timeline, you'll need to pick the appropriate incorporation structure for setting up your business. I'll start with the WFI. So WFIs are owned solely by foreign investors and are mainly applicable for management consulting, information technology, recruitment, architecture and design, logistics companies, as well as restaurants. You may decide that a foreign invested commercial enterprise is the way to go. And you know, this is effectively a WFI structure which handles import and export functions. So, you know, that could include wholesale trading, retail trading, e-commerce trading and manufacturing. Then you've got the joint venture, which by its definition means that, you know, this is an entity owned by both a foreign and a mainland Chinese investor. Then there's a foreign invested partnership, an FIP. So an FIP is an enterprise where foreign companies and individuals are permitted amongst themselves or in partnership with China domestic individuals or entities to directly establish in China. Then finally, the representative office or the RO. So an RO is not an independent PRC legal entity, but rather a type of liaison office with a limited range of authorized activities. So the parent company of the RO is legally responsible, therefore, for its activities, and that the parent company being in the country of incorporation or headquarters. An RO, therefore, can be invested by an overseas corporate entity, and this entity is required to have existed for over 2 years prior. An RO is also prohibited from engaging in directly operational business activities which take revenue locally and can only observe local market conditions, i.e. through market research, market liaison activities, or local procurement. Unlike most jurisdictions, incorporation in China requires the business entity to have a physical office, and you know, that being at a site appropriate and befitting of the type of business that, you know, the entity will conduct, and this must be its registered place of business. If you're you know, incorporating a limited company in China, you know, you should plan for this process to take approximately around 4 to 6 months to set up from the date of the first application that is submitted to the government authority. You should also note that, you know, points such as notarization of original investor documents may require additional time, and then depending on the location and jurisdiction of the parent company, that would be a factor. However, upon receipt of your business license, you will then be able to start hiring people on behalf of your entity here in China.
Thanks, Kieran. So my company is all set up, so all that's left is for me to go around hiring the people who are going to work for it. So what are some of the ways that I can attract talent and staff my business in China?
Well, if you're seeking to employ staff or engage representatives, recruitment is particularly critical. So I would advocate that you take a hands-on and rigorous approach to ensure that your team has the capability, the capacity, the cultural understanding, and the resources to execute your strategy, particularly now in your absence. Alternatively, CBBC has our own service called Launchpad, which can enable your business to appoint a representative on the ground in a very low risk and cost-effective manner. This option continues to be used by a range of companies, including household consumer brands, prestigious academic institutions, innovative SMEs, trade and investment bodies, and local authorities. Through Launchpad, we can either provide a suitable member of the current CBBC team, or where necessary, identify someone with the right skills and abilities to work exclusively for your business needs. If this is a service that is of interest to you, don't hesitate to get in touch either with through myself or a member of my team, and we'll be delighted to speak with you.
So far, so good. And it sounds like setting up a company in China is a lot easier than I was imagining. Now, our listeners know that it clearly isn't. China is a more complicated market than others, dare I say, Vietnam or Hong Kong even, to establish in. So what are some of the other considerations that a SME looking to China has to take into account?
Well, there is a seemingly endless list of issues for UK companies to contend with when entering the China market, and working from a distance only exacerbates these currently. For example, don't forget that China is a first-to-file jurisdiction, which means that before making any inroads into the market, you should have taken the appropriate steps to protect your IP, your product, and to register your trademarks and patents. Then I would suggest that you pay full attention to tax compliance matters. In China, limited companies are required to open a tax account denominated in RMB for payment of all China-related tax liabilities. Your China entity will then be required to comply with the PRC taxation and compliance regulations through its bookkeeping, accounting, and tax filing activities. CBBC will soon be publishing its 2022 China Business Handbook, which will cover the whole process around corporate establishment and a range of other critical and practical business factors to deal with regards to investing into China, setting up in China, and understanding the bigger picture of the business environment here in market. Now, finally, I should say, without wishing to plug CBBC too hard on this podcast, you know, everything I've said today, all the areas I've covered, are areas where CBBC and our team can offer our support to you. And if you're seeking guidance, I would encourage you to speak to our team. We can also signpost you to a range of members that can offer you further technical guidance if required, whether that be law firms, whether that be accountancy firms, or other professional services providers. We've got a very broad network, which I'm sure will be more than willing to have a conversation with you and provide you with the guidance that you need.
Well, thanks, Kieran, for coming on the podcast. I don't think our listeners can have any further questions about entering the China market, the risks to consider, how to go about incorporating. And if you do have any further questions, do check out our website at www.cbbc.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another episode of China Business Brief. Kieran, thanks.
No problem, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
China Business Brief is a podcast brought to you by the China Britain Business Council. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you're subscribed. To find out more about our other events and activities, do check out our website at www.cbbc.org.